Welcome back to Trends in Low Places, a comedic exploration of the dumbest stories of the day. I am one of your hosts, Mike Cushing.
And I am the Harry to his Eggsy, Michael Howard.
Okay, I knew you were. Yeah, okay. Let's save the world. Can you buy me a nice suit?
Yes. Yeah, see, I feel like I'm the older, wiser,
Better
spy.
Dressed.
Yeah, obviously better dressed. You just don't know yet. So
I'm just one of those classic London youths, street thugs. That
God,
just,
you're getting
like,
so much trouble all the time.
Real streetwise, but there's like a hidden hero lurking within
me. Oh, for sure.
And one day it's just going to break out and then I'll have butt sex with the prime minister of some Scandinavian country and it'll all be great.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Sweden, yes.
And I'll make all the rich people in the world's heads explode in like a fine powdery mist. And
I'm into it.
Honestly, Michael?
Sounds great.
In this economy, I'm really looking forward to doing that.
I mean, so for those of you who do not know, that is from The Kingsman.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful movie with Michael Caine. Was
Michael
that
Caine is who you pull from that movie?
I just wanted to use the Michael Caine voice, honestly.
Oh, okay. Michael, it's good that you are into using voices for this episode, because I do have a fun activity later.
I can only do voices in very specific words or phrases, and then it immediately goes away, and I think everything just kind of devolves into the same voice.
Michael, that actually, man, it's going to work out so well, because
ooh.
I have one specific voice and one specific phrase that I want you to use, and it's going to be great. I think we'll ease into, before I get to the phrase, we'll give some time to warm up.
Okay. Sweet.
Michael, okay, so we're now 9 months into this hellish year, 2020.
Good Lord, yeah. Well, 8 months in. We're in the ninth month.
September.
If this year was a baby, it would be being born pretty soon.
Any day now. Any day.
At the end of this month, it would be a baby, and goddamn, that would be the Antichrist of a baby.
Michael, although really, and if this year were a baby, if any baby were a just real poster child for pro-choice, hey, let's take this one back to the drawing board. We fucked up. This was a bad one.
This is a very bad one. Ooh, boy.
Michael, I will say, so we are 8 months into this very bad year.
Yep.
And speaking of The Kingsman, it's kind of weird that we've gotten to this point without a like rich supervillain just being like, yep, it's my time now. All the signs have pointed to me showing up and trying to destroy the world. And then some, I don't know, plucky young British secret agent blows their heads up.
Yeah, here's the problem, though, is that like in those movies, there is an entity that is against said supervillain billionaire. In this country, in this economy, we enable the supervillain billionaires by giving them more money. And then when you try to say like, hey, maybe you shouldn't have $200 billion, all of these people who will never have anywhere close to 0.001% of $1 billion go, hey, he earned that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we just let them do it. Like Elon Musk is just putting fucking chips in pigs' heads. And we're just like, yeah, cool. Cool, Elon,
pretty
thanks.
Cool, pretty cool idea. And you're like, and he said he was going to do it on the Joe Rogan podcast. And everyone's like, oh,
of course,
great. Because we're on that show.
That's fucking 2020, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm waiting, though, Mike. I'm sure at some point Jeff Bezos is going to just fly out of his volcano lair. And just
oh,
be
for
like,
sure.
Hey, I've reached my inevitable conclusion.
We think that Blue Origin is a rocket company, but no, they've just been building secret lairs everywhere and probably some Dr. Robotnik style like gadgetry, I assume.
And I'll say this, actually, Michael, I mean, as much as I don't want a billionaire like super terrorist to show up and kind of, again, I don't know, I'm not going to say ruin 2020. I'm kind of like, at a certain point, though, I would appreciate the artistry of like a secret lair. Like a billionaire, I was like, cool,
yeah.
This guy bought and hollowed out a volcano and now has nukes in there. You know what? The threat to my life and society, not great, but pretty cool, man.
Honestly, if just like a Charlize Theron-style supervillain came out and was just like, ha-ha, 2020 has all been my doing. Give me all of the money. I'd be like, oh, thank God.
At least there's somebody with a plan behind all of this.
God, I thought this was just all fucking chaos. Thank you so much, supervillain.
I
oh,
did.
God.
I I read a headline today in classic, you know, Michael Cushing doesn't have a brain style. It was a quantum. So I read enough of like quantum physics stuff that like Google News will present stuff to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just something about like some trick of quantum mechanics means that our reality is subject to it was like tricks from mischievous like parallel universes. So like people from other universes can just be like, hey, I have a fun joke. I'm going to ruin a full year for this cool planet that looks bad. And then they do it.
I don't know enough about the intricacies of quantum mechanics. Maybe someone listening to this does.
Yeah, I want to say that I'm trying to lure Maddie Ice, who has promised to be our blogger in residence and ombudsman, correcting all of our bad thoughts.
Yeah.
That maybe he'll just have to write. Maybe I finally said something so insanely stupid that somebody actually has to correct me publicly.
Yeah, because when you get down to the quantum level, you have the quantum fluctuations. And what that means is that like anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody could harness those quantum fluctuations in the many worlds theory, then theoretically they could do something within those quantum fluctuations to then cause the butterfly effect on our universe.
And
that's 100% true. And no one can fact check that.
And vis-a-vis, therefore, ergo, there are infinite Spider-Men.
Exactly.
And one day I will be one. That's what,
yes,
that's what that says.
Everyone gets to be a Spider-Man. Given a long enough timeline, everyone will be a Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Infinite parallel timelines. In one of those, you're a Spider-Man.
I mean, it's infinite. So literally in one of them, you're everything you ever want to be.
Yeah. Well, Michael, let's get into this today. Because honestly, there's nothing fun on the news, in the news, about the Mm-mm. news. We live in a bad time.
It's a bad one. Yep.
Like everything in the news today was just about various forms of endorsed voter fraud, and I'm just like not into it. So, Michael, I found an activity. It's from a Facebook group of a following of another podcast. But someone just decided
rogue podcast.
That's how Michael, it came to my attention that there are other illicitly unlicensed podcasts out there attempting to do.
You know what? If I had any drive or motivation whatsoever, I would do something about that. But
yeah, they're real lucky that we can barely scrap together the energy to do this, the only sanctioned legal podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, Michael, can you do me a favor and give me your best Kermit the Frog voice?
Oh, fuck.
You can say whatever you want. It might help if you had something to say, but I don't have anything because I didn't plan far enough ahead.
Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. Give me 2 seconds to look up Kermit. I don't think I've heard Kermit speak in so long.
Sure thing, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Kermit the Frog. Okay.
Yeah, that was a pitch perfect
Kermit.
That
was fucking good.
Yep. I know that was bad, but also I may or may not have watched a video on YouTube of the 6 facets of Kermit the Frog's voice and had it do it. And there's something called a prosody, which I don't know what that means.
I can't do it.
Do it.
It's
you got it.
Not. I can't do his voice.
Michael, you
it's
can
not,
do it.
You, just, I can't.
Michael, say I visited a parallel universe as Kermit the Frog.
I can only speak in Bobby's voice from Bobby's World. That's it.
Oh, well, I visited a parallel universe.
No,
that shifted to somebody else.
I visited parallel. No.
Freeze your, like, lock your the back of your tongue and just kind of like. Okay.
I'm Kermit the Frog.
Good. That's pretty good. Okay.
Kermit.
Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy. I can't.
Okay.
It's not easy being green. That's what is that?
I don't know. Okay, try it. You know what? Just for the sake of the exercise, let's do Bobby's World.
Wow.
I mean, that's, Michael,
it sounds
bad.
Right in my head, and then as soon as it comes out of my face, gone.
It sounds wrong and bad out
it
of your face.
It sounds so bad.
And I know that mine sounds bad, but whatever you're working with.
Or I can do the...
let's do Bobby's World.
What's the jackalope from the old America's Funniest Home Videos? Never catch me.
No, let's do Bobby's World.
It's very similar to Bobby from Bobby's World.
Yeah, Bobby's World's a little bit more appropriate, I think, for this, Michael. Mm-hmm. Okay, so break me off some Bobby's World.
This is Bobby's World.
Okay. Now, I want you to
it's
really...
It's the only voice I can do.
And I really want you to nail the phrase, my wife.
My wife.
No, really get Borat. Channel Borat.
Oh, the actually as Borat. I was doing it as Bobby.
So, no. But Bobby's voice doing the Borat. My wife.
My wife.
That's pretty good.
My wife.
Okay. Now try it as Kermit.
It's not easy. No, wait.
Channel that energy.
My wife. No, can't do it.
Piggy, would you be my wife?
My wife.
Miss my Piggy. Wife. Would you be my wife?
My wife.
My wife?
My wife. I can't do Kermit's voice.
You're not nailing it.
No.
That's okay, though. Anyway, we didn't waste nearly as much time as I thought we were going to do on that one.
Sorry, Kush. I have zero ability to do voices right now.
That's fine. It's okay, Michael.
I can't make my mouth do anything right now.
It's okay, buddy. My wife.
It's okay, buddy. I'll just imitate you imitating Kermit.
I mean, it's better than... Yeah.
I'm Kermit the Frog.
You're doing a really weird thing with your whole mouth zone.
I'm doing Kermit. I'm Kermit.
No, you're not. That's terrible. Just awful.
I'm Kermit, I am.
Well, okay, yeah, okay. Now do Yoda.
My wife? How about Chewbacca?
All right. Well, Michael, what do you have? What's going on this week? Do you have any stories? I really thought we were going to spend more than 2 minutes on that, but a clear and utter bust. I do want people to tweet us videos of you saying,
my wife,
in your best Kermit voice, though.
Wait. I'm Miss Piggy. I can talk like Miss Piggy.
You can do Miss Piggy.
I'm Miss Piggy. My wife. Man, I look. I'm not cut out for voice acting.
Yeah, then yeah, that's fine. Honest. Michael, it's a rare talent. That
here's the thing. I don't even like my own voice, so I don't want to try to do other voices.
Now you tell me. 139 episodes in.
No, the thing is, I do lots of voices, just none of them to mimic other people necessarily because I'm not good at it.
That's fair. Okay. Well, Michael, what's going on? Do we have any stories to talk about? I feel like we have a couple. You sent me a fucking, like, swole-ass sheep.
Oh, the swole sheep. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about that. So the world's most expensive sheep has just been purchased for $490,000.
Who's Michael got Cushing? Money to burn on, like, a good sheep?
In this economy?
Like, come, like, that really speaks to what's going on in this world.
And here's the thing, though. I thought the same thing, but then I saw a picture of this majestic sheep, and it is like no other sheep I've ever seen in my life.
Well, how many sheep have you seen?
So when I was in, Pisa for work, we were staying at this little house that was kind of off in the, because it was cheap and it was in a farm or whatever. But like I went for a run one time and on my way back from the run, there was just a herd of sheep crossing the street. There had to be like hundreds of them. So I've seen hundreds of sheep now.
Okay, at least. And of hundreds. Those. Okay, so you've sent me this picture. Real nice golden coat. This guy looks beautiful. Like a golden retriever. Like
he does.
He has the coat of a labradoodle.
He does have, yes. His coat is great. Like freshly shorn, I'm sure.
Also, Michael, the picture that I have here, I can't tell if he has two sets of eyes. It kind of looks like he has two sets of eyeballs.
I think it's some kind of duct of something, but yeah, he might have four eyes. Maybe
I
that's
mean,
why he's
honestly,
so expensive.
Honestly, if his face looks like that and he doesn't have, like, I'm gonna say a word that's wrong, but if he doesn't have bipedal eyes, I'm not interested. Like, his face looks messed up if he doesn't have four eyes, is what I'm saying. And I don't want to know the right word. Again, don't at me. Not interested.
I'm sure it's biocular.
That, maybe. Maybe, Michael.
Quadrocular.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right. Michael, there is one. So they've given him a very nice haircut, which I bet really
great
they
haircut.
Did. Yeah.
Great.
I wonder how much the haircut
is. His head is all white. And then his coat is just this majestic brown.
Majestic golden brown, yeah. Michael, this very good sheep. First of all, he has like the body dimensions of a tall corgi, like very long
yes.
torso.
Yes.
he does have one, I would say, defining feature. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the two grapefruits he's got hanging from his dangle dangle there.
Big old honking balls.
Oh my god.
Big old ones.
Like, is this what sheep balls look like proportionally, or is this why this sheep is so expensive?
Also the shape, they look like two just big old lemons hanging down. Michael, do you want to, and actually, Michael, do you know this thing's name, which I think is probably in relation to its balls?
I didn't.
Double Diamond.
Oh, Double Diamond. Now I see. Oh, yep. Nope. Those are, yep. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
Accurate name.
Okay. And also, we're going to continue body shaming this sheep. or I guess body glorifying this
sheep.
Yeah,
we're body glorifying. We are, I don't want to say sexualizing, because that puts the wrong tone on
it. Michael, is this in the middle of its tummy, about, I'm gonna say about 10 inches away from its balls?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a belly button or a beepus?
So here's the thing. Bonnie, my dog,
a golf ball sized beepus.
Bonnie has this little hernia from when she was born that kind of looks like that, and it's in a similar place. And so that's what I thought it was at first, but now looking a little bit closer, like getting the magnifying glass out, I'm pretty sure that's the head of his beepus.
Or just, I mean, like, what I'm getting at, Michael, I know it, like, it's probably all under the skin, but can you imagine if you were just all head and no shaft?
If you had just, like, giant lemons,
just
but then,
gigantic,
like,
balls. If someone walked up from behind and, like, hello, sir, interested in what you've got? Oh, I came around the side.
And if it was just a head?
Just the head.
Like, it looked like a mushroom just half grew out of the ground, and that's it.
It's like someone taped a golf ball to your tummy. Great. I guess the rest of you is pretty nice.
That's
I'll just
what
take
I'm
a,
working with.
I'll just take a picture from the waist up, I guess. I don't know. Michael, do you know what the bidding for this sheep that eventually went for $490,000 went?
No.
Bidding started at $13,000.
$13,000 and went to $400,000. How many people were bidding on this majestic sheep?
I don't know, but they don't say.
Oh my!
But like, how do you get it so wrong? And also, I guess, how do you set the price for a very good sheep?
A betting war drove up the price until an agreement was reached for the sheep to be shared between three farms.
Like a King Solomon situation, or are they just like, we're each of us gets a pint of it every of his tiny penis juice every day?
It's just not like every other business. Okay, Jeff Aiken, I don't know what businesses you've been in.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, something special comes along, and yesterday, an extra special Texel, which is the name of that type of sheep, turned up, and everyone wanted a piece of it. Texel sheep originated in Holland and are a butcher favorite, according to the Texel Sheep Society. Okay. Oh, yeah, let me ask the Shark Society if sharks are cool. Of course, obviously.
So the CNN article, Michael, you sent me, links to a press release from the Texel Sheep Society. And they, I don't know over how much time they've been taking these pictures, but there are about 20 pictures from the exact same same angle of this sheep at clearly different times, because its coat is different colors, different lengths. One time it's dyed like a vibrant yellow.
One time stands like that.
And he only stands in that exact same position while a very ginger white man usually pokes their fingers up, like almost like they're saying, ah, that's a spicy meatball. They just jam their hand like that, the same hand motion that you would do with that saying, right up into its chin. And he's just standing there.
That's a spicy Texley.
And so, Michael, so it's a butcher favorite. So somebody paid $490,000 for a sheep they're just going to kill and eat.
No, I assume it's going it's going to fuck until it dies and create a lot of other butcher favorites.
I guess pretty good life, all things considered.
I mean, look, if somebody would just take care of me and feed me and, like, let me roam around and I had no other responsibilities other than just, like, have
stay
sex.
Stay in shape and just poke my tiny little dong into things. Yeah.
My little half a golf ball into things. Sure.
Sign me up. Yeah, I just don't know how you get it that wrong on the price tag. It's like, if you knew, so you had there's a previous record for one sheep sale was 230 pounds. So $307,000 in US dollars. And that was in 2009. So you at least have a baseline that you're like, well, this sheep kicks the shit out of that one. Look, I know I've got at least a pretty handsome, big, bald fella over here.
Sometimes.
How do you start at 13K?
Look, sometimes people don't know what they have.
But what in the period of the auction really was like, now this sheep fucks?
Look, we don't know. We don't know what eyes it gave or what happened to that Beebus there. Like, maybe it did something special. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, we don't know anything about pigs. We don't know anything about sheep. But we're endeavoring to learn all the intricacies of the, that world, the farming world. I don't know anything. I have no farm knowledge.
I'm just going to start. Look, I'm going to sell all of the holdings and mutual funds and everything I have, and I'm going into just livestock trade.
I'm going to say, too, at what point, if you're, if you have this, man, just prize sheep with he, it, with its.
He is. He's beefy, but not fat.
No, I mean, a pure specimen, an absolute unit, this lad.
Yeah.
But at what point do you, like, if you, so you start, like, you think you have a pretty good sheep. You start at 13K. Yep. At what point are you just, like, if you hit a certain price tag in this auction, are you just allowed to be like, actually, no, thank you. I'm just going to sell all of you guys pints of its jizz because I think that's all you want.
Actually, I'm going to keep this sheep.
Yeah, the sheep is actually, apparently the sheep's better than I thought. I did not know fair market value for this sheep. So I guess you guys can just come around and I'll have it on draft.
Also, how does it, the weird thing about selling a sheep, selling an animal for $490,000 is that, like, that sheep is worth more than I am, honestly. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, no one would pay that much money for me if that was something that could be done.
It's, I mean, it's probably, I think mathematically, like, it's sold for about half of my lifetime earnings.
like even if I were to piecemeal myself out on the black market, like, I'm not getting $490K.
No.
Which is just kind of depressing. Although, yeah. I guess I'm not going to create a bunch of delicious butcher sheep. So, yeah.
Get a more important skill set. What can you do? AutoCAD? Who gives a fuck?
Engineering?
I could probably train like a dumb sheep to do AutoCAD.
Probably.
So, you know, you ain't special. But I don't know about the quality of your jizz. Has anyone tested it?
Not yet. No.
So, I don't know. Maybe you have hidden value that, like, if Michael, maybe if we were just to take your big balls to an auction, and you're like, oh, well, check them out. See what these things can
you
do.
You just grab me right underneath my chin and I just stand like that and people just gander at my giant balls and maybe I get $490K.
Yeah.
And then I get to go to a farm and just have sex all the time.
There are worse ways to spend your twilight years.
Exactly. Horses have it really good. The race horses after they're done racing. Like, yeah, they're probably not treated that great while they're racing, but then like three years is how long you have to race for. And then all of a sudden out to stud.
You just run really fast, which is a thing you, I think, like to do.
Yeah, you love it.
And sure, there is some bad parts of that. But then, yeah, you just get to, although I don't think you ever actually get to stud. I think you're tricked into like coming into a big sleeve and that sucks. So that's no good. But then I think you do also get the satisfaction of knowing that somewhere a human had to slip your big dong out of another horse into like a big straw. So, like, that's got to feel pretty good that these idiots are running around touching your dong all day long.
Look, what's weird about that is that, like, do you remember Mr. Ed?
Yeah.
So that means that horse talked, right? So, like, he had conversations and stuff, but, like, that horse was also probably, like, out to stud. Like, they were probably doing things to that horse, right?
I mean, probably.
Do you think the horse talks to them, like, when they're doing things?
Michael, hold on. How high are you?
Super. I'm just saying, like, if the things we do for our pets, right? Mm-hmm. To, like, pick up their shit, and, like, when when they have shit hanging out of their butt, you pull, like, socks out and whatever.
Sure,
like,
been there.
If my dog talked to me while I was doing those things, that would be awkward to me.
Yeah. So, Mike, what do you think Mr. Ed would say when he was walking around just getting serviced by farmhands?
He seems like a jokester.
He's like, probably like, Wilbur, my wife.
Cold hands.
So, Michael, do you think Mr. Ed actually talked? Is that what we're getting to here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
All right, I mean, it was on TV.
It's not like they had CGI back then. It was like the fucking 50s.
Yeah, it's true. It was on TV. So
it was on TV. I mean, they filmed it. They didn't have camera tricks.
That's so true. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, yeah, if it happened like this year, I'd be like, well, if it happened this year, I'd be like, oh, cool. The horses have become sentient and they're all going to kill us. But if it happened last year.
Last year would have been like a deep fake. Like, oh, obviously. Cool. Yeah, you put Harrison Ford in this in Mr. Ed episode. Really cool. Okay. So, yeah. So you think Mr. Ed talks. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Michael, which famous talking animal would you really like to be friends with? If you really had to do it. Either talking animal. I'm going to say talking animal or like sentient, like an animal or a vehicle with consciousness and agency of its own. I'm Herbie, a real Herbie guy.
Sure,
Herbie,
yeah,
ride
Herbie
or die.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, if we're going into cars and automobiles, Kirby, although Bumblebee?
I mean, yeah, if my car could turn into a big robot with a gun, that's pretty good.
Animal, though? Rocky? From Rocky and Bullwinkle, probably.
Break me off of Bullwinkle? Or Rocky? Either one. Rocky was kind of a punk. I never liked Rocky.
Yeah, but Bullwinkle was dumb as shit. Rocky not could true. Fly, though.
That's, yeah, true.
And not
true.
Even fake fly like flying squirrels, but like 100% fly wherever he wanted.
Yeah, pretty.
How valuable would that be?
Also, why would you be friends with that dumbass moose?
I don't know, man.
Just fly away.
Look, sometimes you become successful with your friends and you're not going to just leave them behind.
That's fair.
You got to remember where you came from. And he came from a moose, obviously.
Per science. Yep. Per 1950 science, talking horses and little squirrel moose baby. Michael, I want to talk to you about a heist.
Ooh.
Not a good one.
Oh, no.
Michael, if
wait,
you had
how is
to,
a heist bad?
Michael, I'm going to get into it, but it's not a good one.
Okay.
I'm going to start off by asking you, supermarket sweep, if you had to name one grocery store item that you just like would not get, like what would it be? Or actually, maybe it actually could be a good one by volume and price, but I'm curious, what would you avoid?
So what is my goal in the supermarket sweep? Is it to win the supermarket sweep? Because don't you have to have the most money?
Most money. Well, but like, given the space of your shopping cart.
Right. So I'd avoid anything that was like, you got to avoid things like giant bags of rice and flour and all those shit that just weighs a lot, but it just costs like 37 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's fluffy, no marshmallows. But you got to get like, what is the most expensive thing at a grocery store? Beer? Can you get beer?
Maybe an expensive bottle of wine. I don't know how people go. But, Michael, I will say, actually, and maybe this makes it a better heist, I'm going to go pistachios.
Oh, pistachios are expensive.
Small unit, very low weight.
Oh.
Pretty expensive.
Like a pound of pistachios is like, what, $9?
Yeah. Michael, oof. What if I were to tell you that somebody stole nearly $300,000 of pistachios and then got caught?
From a single store? Or from, like, no. Multiple stores over time?
A store was not involved. And somebody, I'm going to say, the Agricultural Crimes Unit of Tulare County, California, Tulare County's Sheriff's Office, which I don't know why, apparently there's enough agricultural crime in Tulare County that their Sheriff's Office has a Agricultural Crimes Unit. I assume a lot of people are just jacking off sheep left and right.
I have never wanted to see the new CBS show Agricultural Crimes Unit.
Honestly,
Topeka,
I'd be way
more than I do right now.
I would be way more interested in just farmers doing like weird shit to each other for crimes than I would be on any like any CBS crime show currently on the
air. Yeah, Agricultural Crime Unit, that should be on Quibi.
Yeah.
I'd watch 10 minutes of that.
So, Michael, if you had to gauge the volume of $300,000 of pistachios.
$300,000. I mean, that's got to be like I don't know,
pounds.
Like a 100,000 pounds.
So they stole a pair of tractor trailers filled.
Oh, my God.
Filled with pistachios. But this is according to a Facebook post from the sheriff's office, which starts with a all capitals major bust. when they were called to Set and Pistachio, where employees reported a significant theft of packaged nuts. Mm. So what somebody did was that somebody used the name of the real trucking company that would come and pick up the tractor trailers from the pistachio company. And then they just hooked up the trailers and then just drove to an abandoned property. And then, so this is where it gets a little weird. I'm gonna cut ahead a little bit and say that the nut thieves were eventually located because the semi truck that they had rented and the two tractor trailers they had taken from the company had real time GPS, so everyone knew exactly where they were. But in the time that the fake trucks showed up and drove off with these trailers, and then presumably another two trucks showed up to take the actual truck showed up to take the trailers, no one put this two together that in the meantime, they took the nuts to a abandoned property, shook all of the pistachios out of their packages, and then sold them to, they say, quote, an unsuspecting individual in Madera County. So these motherfuckers just were ripping plastic bags open for, I have to assume, 35 hours.
Okay, look. Okay, if they're being shipped on a truck, I'm hoping that maybe it was like the bulk packaged pistachios and that maybe there was like, say, like 5 to 10 pounds in a bag instead of 1 pound. But still, that has to be, if we're talking 100,000 pounds of pistachios, good sweet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, did they claim that they could sell pistachios to this person and then realize they, oh shit, we don't actually have pistachios?
I get, I mean, like, there are certain crimes, like the cost benefit ratio, that like $300,000, nothing to sneeze at, pretty good heist. But if you have to take 30 hours of work to take these tractor trailers, slowly unload bag by bag, and then refill them with loose nuts, and then take them to one person and be like, hey, we got all these good nuts. Would you like them? They're definitely ours.
So don't basically worry. They did perform a pistachio washing or laundry scheme.
Mm-hmm. They did it. I mean, not well by any means, but I think at like a pure volume to dollar ratio, individual nuts is probably the worst kind of way to go on a heist.
On a heist, for sure. Like, usually people go for diamonds because, you know, the weight to money ratio is very high or mm-hmm. low, I guess, the way I said it. Two tractor trailers full of pistachios that they had to shake out of the bags. Into what? What did they shake it into?
Unclear, but I'm also going to say, so Tulare County to Madera County is only 2 hours away. So, like, I feel like if you are going to steal that many pistachios, you got to put some distance between you.
So,
like,
their plan mm-hmm. was to steal $300,000 worth of pistachios, mm-hmm. sell them to somebody in literally the next county over.
Yeah.
And they were hoping this person would not just hear about the exact amount of pistachios that they bought from these random people being stolen at the exact day that they were buying them.
If you're a single person in the market for $300,000 worth of pistachios, you're probably not really, maybe above board. And also, I don't know what that person is doing with that many, like, loose nuts. Like, what are you up to, buddies? And again, these were initially packaged. So, like,
I know what he wanted them for.
Okay.
So, you know how we always talk about, like, Scrooge McDuck and his money vault?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, like, you couldn't possibly swim in coins. That just does not work.
Can't be done.
This guy's like, maybe I can swim in pistachios. Now, you wouldn't want the shells on, though, because that would be sharp. But if, like, he opened every single pistachio and it was just pistachio nuts, maybe he could do it.
You're talking about a lot of loot, like salt, though, getting into your eyeballs and, you know, anywhere else that salt might burn you. But, Michael, I'm into it. The pistachio pit is a good idea. I will say, Michael, how do you feel about pistachios?
I love them.
Got into them recently, but boy, howdy. What a delightful, rewarding treat. When you snap open that shell, the tough part is that you have to snap open like 8 at a time, so you get a nice handful.
Oh no, going, I snap open one at a time.
You're missing out. You got to get
a psychopath.
You got to get at least three in there. Get
not
a nice
only,
little
not only that, but so like the ones that are fully closed, those I toss. But if it has even the slightest crack, I am so obsessed with getting that open.
I literally cracked the nail 2 days ago trying to get a little baby crack open. And I was just like a little not in my right mind and just like watching the expanse and just really going to town on a nut.
And sometimes they break and then they jam right into your fingernails. And it's like you're being tortured, but you're doing it to yourself.
You like that?
I don't like it. But I also can't stop doing it because I want those pistachios.
Michael, tell me more about you and pistachios. Are you okay?
They're so good. I've probably eaten an entire package. Like, I have to buy the shelled one or the ones with shells because I've bought the unshelled ones before and I've eaten an entire bag.
Oh, yeah. I brought some to hang out with you, the red chili ones from Wonderful.
Hundo P.
Good God. I'll put those down all day.
Yep.
Michael, real quick, Mr. Peanut says, my wife.
I don't even know what Mr. Peanut sounds like. He's dead.
Look it up, buddy.
He's dead.
He's a baby now. He came back.
Mr. Peanut, my wife.
Pretty good. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Wait, isn't he British or something?
I don't care.
Pip,
he's got
cheerio.
He's got a top hat and a cane. Michael, what astrological sign do you think Tony the Tiger is?
Leo.
Aries. Idiot. Michael, what is your astrological sign?
Taurus.
Let me see. Mel Magazine did a in-depth reporting on... Sorry. You're Sonny, the Cocoa Puffs bird.
That makes sense.
Yeah. The Taurus is all about sensuality. They're all about things that feel good, smell good, and taste good, like pistachios.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Sonny, the Cocoa Puffs bird, is always seeking the pleasures of delicious Cocoa Puffs. It's almost certainly a Taurus. She adds that Taurus is a very passionate once they're out, even to the point of obsession. In other words, they go quite cuckoo for whatever their personal Cocoa Puffs are.
Nah, it makes sense. Like I just said, I'm obsessed with getting those pistachios.
It checks out. Let me check what, Michael, I swear to God, if I get down to Sagittarius and dig 'em frog from fucking Kellogg's Maxis down there, I'm going to have words. Oh, man, that sucks. Lucky the leprechaun.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you guys suck.
Wow. All right, Michael, what's going on? Any other stories we got?
Yeah, you know what?
What?
You know what? Since we're talking about eating and animals and whatnot, what are your feelings on boneless chicken wings, Kush?
They always feel like I'm being robbed in one way or another.
Right?
Like I like them because it's breaded chicken with buffalo sauce on it. I'm into it. But it always feels like somehow someone's putting one over on me.
And it's the chicken to friedness ratio is so low.
Too many frieds. Not enough chickies.
Which is, it's fine, I guess, if the chicken sucks. But I want some good chicken.
And I will say, any place that will advertise boneless chicken wings, usually the chicken sucks.
True. That's a good point. Like, why not just eat tenders? They're so much better.
I mean, functionally, what's the fucking difference?
There's more chicken to friedness.
No, I'm saying, still, like, realistically.
Mm-hmm. So, this man from Lincoln, Nebraska, right?
Okay, good.
Correct?
Thank you.
Lincoln, Nebraska. Man, he got up at a city council, and everyone else there was probably talking about COVID or somebody parking in the wrong fucking place or like squirrels or some shit. But this man had something very, very important. Lincoln has the opportunity to be the social leader in this county, said Christensen. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are casually throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning. The man proposed that Lincoln remove the term boneless chicken wings from our menus and from our hearts.
What I like about this already is that this is a man who knows how to structure an argument.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He leads with the kids using words that are hurtful, misleading, and damaging to them and to society.
Yeah. He's making the argument that words have meaning, guys.
Sure.
And I don't know if you know this, but none of the chicken that goes inside of a boneless chicken wing is from a chicken's wing.
Michael, I feel fucking robbed.
Right?
So I'm looking this up now. I did see one thing that he says in there about bones, and just like, bones are where meat comes from.
He does say he starts complaining that people have made people think that like bones in your food is bad. And he's like, but bones on meat is great. Bones is where the meat grows. Like,
that's... Also, bones is where flavor lives.
Also, chicken wings, dark meat, boneless chicken wings are usually shitty breast meat that isn't dark.
It's true. It's weird, Michael, that, well, are all wings dark meat? I don't think so.
Aren't they?
In the wing, like the flats are, those got to be white meat.
And those are white?
I think so. And even like chicken wings are, like the legs are usually, they appear, it's all chicken. No. I mean, whatever. Turkey's dark meat. Dark.
Turkey legs are dark meat.
Turkey legs are dark meat. But if you look at chicken leg, it's white meat.
But chicken thighs are dark meat.
Chicken thighs are a different story, but chicken, like the drumsticks are... This.
Wait, so it goes, you think it goes from thighs dark and then they grow the white meat out from there?
Yeah. Well, Michael, it's probably a question of how awfully we've genetically modified chickens in the last to just like do our bidding and just grow really tasty meats. I'm just saying when you look at the meat of a drumstick, it doesn't look like dark meat, generally speaking.
I feel like we need Curtis on here.
Well, call him up. Get him on the horn. Fuck it. Hold on 1 second. He's not going to pick this phone call up, but I'm going to call him real quick.
He's going to be so mad
if he does pick up and I ask him this dumb shit.
This man, Ander Christensen, he did give some alternative. Look, you can't come with a problem without offering a solution.
Michael, I am calling.
Yeah, that's fine. He's not going to answer, so I'm just going to keep talking.
Hey, Curtis.
How
you doing, buddy? Oh, look, there he is.
How are you doing?
Hold on 1 second. Let me get Michael on the horn here. We're recording. We have a question for you.
Oh, good God.
Don't worry about it. It's all good.
is it a medical question? Because Tim has
it
right here.
No, this is in no way a medical question.
This is so important. Curtis, we are having a very, very important argument right now about whether or not.
So let's frame this right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Are chicken wings, both the wing and the drumstick, white meat or dark meat? Turkey legs, we know the answer.
Turkey legs are definitely dark. We know that.
Dark meat.
Damn it.
Boom. Don't fuck with me on my chicken, motherfucker.
Wow. Curtis, the color of the bird, the chicken meat and the drumstick.
I'm just saying, when you go into Popeyes and you tell them dark, sometimes you get them wings.
Okay, let's not bring Popeye's level of service into this conversation.
Yeah, that's you can order anything at Popeye's and get wings. I ordered a soda.
Yes, you got a cup full of wings. What's your fucking problem?
It's like, did you not want that chicken? It's included in there, so.
All right, Curtis. Well, we'll let you get back to, I assume, what was dinner. But thank you so much for contributing.
I'm doing a data flow because I'm a nerd.
That sounds nice. All right, buddy. Well, we love you. Sorry. Thank you for jumping on.
I love you too. Sorry about the old...
It's honestly okay. I honestly thought it was going to be like 10,000 to 1 odds that you would pick up the phone right now. So
I'm doing work right now. That's the problem. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, we love you. Thank you.
Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Oh, wait, Curtis, real quick. Curtis?
Yeah, what's up?
Can you give me real quick your best Kermit the Frog voice? Okay, now, as Kermit the Frog, say, my wife.
No.
Please?
It's not possible.
No, it is.
Jesus. My wife? I don't, that's weird.
Curtis, my wife.
My wife.
You got the Swedish chef. Like
that. Oringy boringy, my wife.
That was pretty good, buddy.
You went horny-borgy on it, man.
All right. Well, think about it. If you want to call us back and give us the best,
my wife,
let us know.
I can't do it, but I love you, boys.
All right. Love you, buddy. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah. So, I was right. This man, his name was Ander Christensen.
A national hero.
National hero. He said, look, you don't bring a problem without bringing some solutions. You can't just say, I don't like this without offering an alternative. So he gave you some alternative names that you can use to describe this chicken product that is boneless and has chicken meat in it. Why not buffalo style chicken tenders? Although those already exist.
They're just called buffalo tendies.
Right. What about saucy nugs?
Saucy nugs I can get behind. That's a pretty good... The saucy nugs is... I'm into it.
Right? That does so much better than boneless chicken wings. If you really think about it, it sounds awful. It does not sound appetizing in any way, shape, or form.
No. Like a boneless chicken, like breast, sure. I'm into it. Boneless steak, okay. Losing some flavor. I'm into it.
I'm just saying, if you take the words, chicken wings, sounds great. Wings, I know what those are. Chicken, I know what that is. Right. Boneless chicken? You probably need bones if you have a chicken.
I feel like every other food that can possibly come with a bone, other than ribs, I think, are so defined by the bone that if you remove it, what are you even doing? Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, a boneless wing would be just a floppy, nasty bird. No, thank you.
No one wants that.
No one I want to know wants that anyway. What other names do you... Saucy nugs I'm into, because also chicken nuggets are great, but no one ever sauces them, bad boys.
Yes, see? You need the sauce on them. I mean, that's basically a boneless chicken wing is just a chicken nugget.
Like, honestly, if fucking Wendy's wants a million-dollar idea, TM, and probably multi-million dollar, lemon pepper nuggies? Wet?
Yep.
Come on, knock on my door.
If they call them saucy nugs?
Lemon pepper saucy nugs? Yeah. I will never not be at Wendy's.
Move over McDonald's. You're done.
Yeah. McDonald's, for the first time, launched a new McNuggets flavor in 40 years, and it was spicy McNuggets, and they looked like dog shit. Go fuck yourself. It took you this long to get to spicy nuggets, McDonald's?
How hard is it to make a spicy nugget? You just fucking throw some chili powder and some paprika on that bitch.
Call it a day. I'm going to eat it.
Christensen closed by saying...
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful words. We've been living a lie for far too long. And we know it because we feel it in our bones. And then he just walked out.
He really framed that argument very well.
It was a masterclass, I will say.
I did appreciate... So I did watch the video. When he turns around, when people are snickering, and he just turns around and is like, please.
It's my turn to talk.
Serious business. I love the audacity of walking into that building where, Michael, I think to your point, it was probably full of, I don't want to wear a mask in this Kohl's because they cause COVID. Like, they give me like 5G sickness and it's one world order government.
In Lincoln, Nebraska, I can't even begin to imagine what was happening in the city council.
I don't want to cast aspersions at Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't know what's going on there, because literally every other state in the union at any city council, even no matter how liberal the town might be,
sure,
is in the throes of people just saying Bill Gates is giving me COVID 5G sickness, trying to take over the world.
Just
also
bonkers.
Hashtag save the children.
This is probably the most sane thing that anyone has said in a city council meeting in 9 months.
But also the steadiness of heart and soul to walk in there, give this message, and all the other ding-dongs in the crowd think, wow, this guy's a fucking joke. And they start
joking.
Laughing. And he just turns around and like, let me do my civic duty, say my piece. I have a real problem to solve here, you fucking assholes.
I mean, he didn't crack a smile. His voice didn't, like, he was measured. He was calm. He kept the same tone. He delivered it well. Like, it honestly was a masterclass. By the end, I was ready to stand up and cheer and like burn down a boneless wing joint.
Also, of all the causes that I can really get behind in 2020, like obviously free and fair and open elections, number one, and then getting rid of the name boneless wings.
Yeah. And the worst part about boneless wings is that every time I see them on the menu, I'm like, I'll get those.
A little less. It's, you know what? It's a little less work. I can eat them with a fork if I want. I don't get my fingies. I don't get like need buffalo sauce under my nails for once. Great. Nope. Not
but
worth
always,
it. It's never
always
worth
disappointing.
It. It's never
always.
Worth it. Yeah, Michael. So I guess we're going to close it out with what experts say is a hoax. But I think we've been saying that. So the headline is pilots report seeing, quote, guy in a jetpack near Los Angeles airport, but experts are skeptical. And I think that if 2020 has told us anything, due to the very good work of Tom DeLonge, former frontman of Blink-182, is that pilots have been seeing shit for years that we've been saying, not possible, can't be done, you guys are lying or high or whatever the fuck. And he Tom DeLonge finally got proof of UFOs out there. So two pilots at LAX, commercial jetliners reported seeing what appeared to be someone in a jetpack as they were on their final approaches to LAX around 6:35 on Sunday. Here's a recording from the FAA was, Tower, this is American 1997. We just passed a guy in a jetpack. response from the controller. American 1997, okay, thank you. Were they off to your left side or your right side? Which, I don't know how,
I didn't even know what I would do. Imagine if you were on that flight and you were looking out the window and all of a sudden you just see a fucking guy in a jetpack.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, this is how people in the Marvel world would have felt about Iron Man. What the fuck was that?
Are you serious? Was that a dude?
It's just a dude flying? This sucks. I hate this world that we're in.
Because you did say that there weren't any billionaire supervillains yet.
And Michael, hey, guess what? If the billionaire super whatever of 2020 turns out to be, whoops, it's Rocket Man and he's here to fight Nazis again, cool, 2020 is redeemed. Great.
You mean Rocketeer?
Rocketeer? Fuck me. Actually, you know what? I was actually talking about Rocket Man, the Harlan Williams vehicle from 1996, where he goes to Mars. Nazis? And he didn't really fight Nazis, but he did fart in his spacesuit. It was really funny because the spacesuit got big and then it was going down the oxygen tube to the other guy. And they had to fight for the farts to knock out it. Michael's really funny.
I did not know that Harlan Williams is the one who starred in that biopic.
Yeah, nope. So pretty good. I was, of course, talking about the Rocketeer.
You were talking about the Elton John biopic where Harlan Williams went to the moon and farted.
No, that again was Taron Egerton. Not to bring it too far back around to Kingsman. Your dumb movie was him. I'm talking about the classic Harlan Williams comedy vehicle from 1990. I'm gonna say 4, where he goes to Mars by some accident. He becomes an astronaut and they go to Mars and he farts in his spacesuit. But Michael, of course, I was talking about Rocketeer, where the man fights.
Amazing movie.
Honestly, I don't know how that wasn't a bigger fucking movie.
It holds
that
up.
Feels like it. It holds up. It's really good. Shit, what's her name? Classically, she was in
Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly, Jennifer.
Was
Connelly
it really great. Jennifer Connelly?
It was Jennifer Connelly. Yeah, it's The Rocketeer is a good fucking movie, great cast, and it's just it somehow just I think missed the superhero craze by a couple years.
Yeah.
And
But
also, again, Michael, if we were to get a Nazi fighting jetpack boy in 2020, is the year redeemed?
Yep,
a little bit.
Yep, I think
if
so.
If all of a sudden, just Kenosha gets a Rocketeer just punching cops in the dick. That's a good year.
Where can I get a jetpack?
Where can I get a jetpack? And training to use a jetpack.
I mean, here's the thing.
And a cool leather jacket.
Here's the thing. If the jetpack technology that they saw exists, and Soros is not sending me any of that technology with my checks, then what's the fucking point, Georgie?
That's actually, yeah, Michael, what is the point of being a paid agitator if you don't get a fucking rocket pack?
I mean, why don't me and all of the rest of the board of directors of Antifa have rocket packs yet?
What is even the point of
what's the point?
A chairperson of a highly organized group? The whole point is to be centralized and have a goal and a mission.
I mean, I submitted my expense reports and it takes fucking 2 weeks to get paid now. It's there's too many people now.
Yeah. They've gotten too big.
It's too big
to be effective. I mean, they have debit cards now from that joke bank in Germany. So reports from experts, Michael.
Experts.
I'm fucking sick of experts. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you enough how sick I am of these fucking guys, their expert opinions. Reports that there does not appear to be a jetpack on the market that could safely get someone to an elevation of roughly 3,000 feet and back to the ground safely. That would require a lot of fuel or a parachute, and no parachute was seen.
Wait. On the market? They think that the guy who flew his jetpack 3,000 feet in the air near a fucking plane bought it on Amazon? Of course not on the market. He designed this shit himself.
They'd run out of fuel, they use fuel too quickly, adding that a typical flight time for a jetpack is just 5 to 10 minutes. If it's a real jetpack, it's noisy. People would have heard it take off and land. Have you no... like no imagination whatsoever. Like,
okay,
how dare you?
Rockets can go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they don't use normal fuel, right? Like the rocket fuel that's in the new like SpaceX thing. I mean, like that shit's pretty cool. Maybe he's just got some cool Tesla SpaceX technology in there.
Michael, you are getting dangerously close to Wile E. Coyote territory here, which I'm honestly not opposed to. You know,
I'm just
that.
Saying there are tons of alternative fuels that might be able to say push a man into the air 3,000 feet.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, I have no doubt that if I were to strap any sort of SpaceX rocket to my back, I could definitely get 3,000. Like, I think,
and they land themselves.
That's one big part of it. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
I think maybe the issue that they're saying is that yes, sure, you could do that, but maybe you couldn't, like, I don't know, hover at 3,000 feet outside of a plane.
Why not?
I think because of the SpaceX rocket designed to take you to space.
All you have to do is just throttle back. You just need enough to keep you from falling at that point.
Michael, even I know enough about rockets to know that once that bad boy is lit, you don't just turn down, you don't take your foot off the gas.
No, it's like the gas on your stove. You just, now it's on simmer. You just turn the jetpack on simmer, and then you just simmer right there.
Simmer for 20 minutes, take the bay leaf out, and now I'm just having a good time, baby. Now, then I can eat my meatballs in peace. But Michael, I want this to be real. And also, again, I hate experts saying, like, if we're going to like Iron Man level, it's just like, what do you got?
Okay. We talked about the sheep newsletter talking about this fucking sheep. You know who this guy who said this thing is the CEO of LA-based Jetpack Aviation. And he was saying, no, it couldn't be a jetpack, right? Do you realize that he is Jetpack Aviation, his company, is under contract with the U.S. military to do research and development on this kind of technology? So basically, he's trying to cover his own ass because the U.S. military is like, motherfucker, hey, somebody else has this technology you've supposed to be been developing for us.
That's actually, Michael, a real, hey, fucko, one of your employees got high and took a jetpack for a joyride over LAX. So I guess it's damage control time.
this guy's trying to claim it was a large drone. Okay, so we've moved from blaming everything on weather balloons to blaming everything on drones now.
But also, like, speaking of, like, if Amazon can make a drone that can just fly me wherever the fuck, why can't I have a drone that just I strap to my back and it flies me 3,000 feet in the air and I just get to, like, drink a Mai Tai up there?
Yeah, why do you need a jetpack when we have drones?
If there are robots that can run 40 miles an hour and can't be kicked over and can jump 20 feet in the air, there should be a drone that can fly me up over LAX and I can just, like, play, I don't know, poker with myself? I don't know what
okay,
I would
do. Okay, here's a question. Do you remember the movie, I think it was called, like, Surrogate with Bruce Willis?
I remember seeing that there was a movie called Surrogate with Bruce Willis. Did not watch it.
Okay, so the basis behind that was that if you were rich enough, you could pay to have your brain put into a synthetic body that could basically experience everything for you, but you don't have to worry about getting hurt or dying.
Sounds cool. Except they weren't using synthetic bodies. They were using real human bodies.
I honestly don't remember because the movie wasn't that good. But what I'm saying is, why don't we take that technology from this very real movie, this non-fictional movie, and instead of putting my brain into a dumb human body, put it in a fucking Boston Dynamics robot that can run 40 miles an hour and can't be kicked over. I want to experience that. I don't want to experience being human. I want to experience fucking being amazing.
I don't want to be me.
I can be me anytime I want. I want to
That's
be
a great
fucking
point.
Robot dog.
Like, why the fuck are we putting, why is Elon Musk putting chips in pig brains so they like, oh yeah, it's basically a Fitbit. Don't give a fuck. No. What if I could be a submarine and go like meet the Meg down in the Mariana Trench?
Put me in a Tesla. What if I am a Tesla now?
I'd rather be, well, now we're getting dangerously towards cars territory.
Oh shit, is cars just a future universe where everyone has just been turned into a Tesla?
Wow, what a fucking dystopian hellhole that you've created.
Oh my god. I have not seen the Cars movies, so I don't know what type of repercussions
Michael,
this has on the universe.
No, essentially that's exactly what you've, yeah, that's, now that I'm reading into this, your idea, that's Cars. You made it Cars.
basically everyone just download their consciousness into the Cars.
The only thing is that I don't think any, like, anyone would willingly choose to be a broken down old tow truck.
I feel like you didn't have a choice. I feel like it was the end of the world was coming, and all we had to download our brains into that were mobile were these cars. And we had mm-hmm. to do it before our stupid human bodies were disintegrated by whatever was happening and whatever we've done to the earth.
So we just became cars.
And you were just stuck with whatever car happened to be near you. And one dude just happened to be in rural country. And he was like, fuck, the only car around is Tater.
And appropriately, I am Larry the Cable Guy. Shit,
so it
man.
Works out.
What irony. Michael, sometimes I really hate when we get to funny ideas in like the last minute of the show.
It sometimes takes me a while to get going, you know?
Yeah. You couldn't give me a fucking Kermit for to save your life.
I cannot. Oh, man. It's not easy being great. No.
Well, Michael, I think that's going to do it for us this week on Trends in Low Places. Everyone, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this show, you can find out more information at goodbuddymedia.com. You can also find out more information about our sister show, Longest Days of Our Lives, in which Curtis, who you heard earlier, and Michael and I are watching every episode of the hit show 24. Michael, you're taking time off pretty soon.
I am.
So you'll be available to
do
100%
new available.
Episodes of that show.
Yep.
I'll try to carve out a couple hours here and there. I'm sure Curtis will stop being wrong about chicken wings for long enough to make an episode. And so you can find more information there. It's a good show. Even if you've never seen it, great time to go back and catch up on the show that we are definitely continuing and we'll get to. And Michael, how else can people help us out?
You can help us out by finding us on Twitter at TILPcast. You can send us story ideas there or comments or just pretty much anything. Memes. Send us memes, why not? Yeah. You can also you can find us on all those podcast apps.
All of them.
Search for Trends in Low Places, and when you do, put your little half golf ball sheep penis right on that subscribe button and maybe give us a 5-star rating and a really glowing review, if you will. You can also reach us at goodbuddymedia@gmail.com. And I would encourage you to either email us there or message us on Twitter with your Kermit voice saying my wife.
My wife.
See if you can beat Kush's. Oh, speaking of voices, Kush, have you seen the new Harley Quinn show on HBO Max?
No, I haven't. Because I refuse to pay for a gated service.
HBO Max? You don't have HBO regular?
Yeah, I don't think that gets you HBO Max unless you have AT&T.
Does. Oh, really?
Yeah, because this is why net neutrality was important, you motherfuckers.
Anyways,
AT&T owns HBO.
The new Harley Quinn animated series is terrific, and it paints the League of Doom or whatever the fuck they're called as like a bureaucratic hellhole where everyone's just an idiot. And
love it.
Bane is incredible. The Bane character in this show is incredible because he says everything in that voice, but imagine like a guy working in an office with that voice. It's okay. Tremendous.
Very into it.
I will break your bagel. No, you need to do it.
Well, the thing is, I can't do that one if I'm thinking about it, which is, you know.
I was wondering which would... Nope, I went back to Kermit.
I went back to Kermit.
Anyways, highly recommended. It's super kind of gory and they swear a lot, but it's got a lot of good feminism and it's got a lot of good jokes and a good Bane voice. So
it sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michael, it's been lovely talking with you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you too. Toodles.
My wife.